Look with me this morning at the book of Psalms, Psalm number 4. And I want to look at one verse of Scripture with you, verse 2. And he says, God Almighty says, through the psalmist David, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing or lies? And then the word Selah is written. Selah is a musical pause. It means stop. Pause here. Consider what was just said. How long, he says, God said, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after lies? How long? This is God's strong judgment and condemnation, mostly of religious leaders who dishonor God, those who turn God's glory into shame. Now let it be first understood, as in the words of Job 35, if thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? In other words, you can do nothing against God. You can't change God. Men don't change God's glory. They can't say anything or do anything against God Almighty. He's in the heavens. We're on the earth. No matter what happens, He's still God. Nothing's changed. We cannot shame God or do anything to take away from His glory. But He says, those things which are God's glory, which give God glory, God, men have turned them into shame. Men glory in their own shame. They glory in what they ought to be ashamed of. And yet they are ashamed of what is God's glory. They just do not believe and reject what is God's glory, which is, God's glory is, first, His sovereign power to do with as He will, with whom He will, because He will. That He reigns and rules and controls all things and all people and all events and all circumstances. Yes, He, Scripture says in Daniel 4:35, reigns among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand. That's what makes Him God. That's His glory. That's what makes Him different than us, so much different than us. He does as He will, with whom He will, because He will. It's His divine right as God. And yet men turn that glory into shame. They say, though it is not so, they say that He does only what men allow Him to do. He can only do what men let Him do. They say things like this, He's done all He can do. Now it's up to you. They turn His glory into shame, the glory of God's character. And His chief attribute or character is His holiness. God is holy. That means pure, separate from sinners. The righteous Lord, Scripture says, loveth righteousness. He loveth righteousness. And yet men have Him loving perverted people in their perversion. Men even blame God for their perversions, saying that God made them that way. He says in Psalm 5, verse 5, the foolish shall not stand in His sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's people, not just their perversions, but them, because God is holy. That's what God's Word says. Yet men have turned His glory, the glory of His holy person, into shame. God's glory is His character, His justice. He said in Isaiah 45, I am a just God. First, just means He does what is right. Exodus 34:7, God says, I will by no means clear the guilty. God will punish sin. He must, if he's just. He must punish sin. What kind of judge would it be who sat on the bench today and let guilty people go free? Well, there'd be a public outcry. Well, God must punish sin. the judge of the earth will do right. And yet men turn that glory into shame. They say by saying that God stands by idly, as wicked people do wickedly, even saying that He loves them. Well, my, they turn God's glory into shame, God's glorious love, that God chose a people, set His love upon them, undeserving though they were. And God's love is undeserving. And God's love is eternal. He said to Jeremiah, He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's eternal love. That's effectual love. That's saving love. Whomever God loves, He always loves. True love never faileth, 1 Corinthians 13 says. God's love cannot fail. God's love is eternal. Whomever God sets His love upon, He loves them forever. And whomever He loves, He saves them. That's the power of His love. He keeps them from falling. That's the power of His love. And yet men have turned that love into shame. They say God loves, yet watches His loved ones perish. That He can't stop them from perishing. That there are people in hell right now whom God Almighty loves. Oh, that's shameful, isn't it? Why? Why do they do that? God's glory is His grace, His sovereign grace, powerful operation of God upon man, the grace of God bestowed upon men, His saving grace, keeping grace, His restraining grace, His constraining grace, His providing grace, the grace who gives them the gift of repentance and faith, a new heart, new life. All-powerful grace, doing all for all He loves. And yet men have turned that glory into shame by saying it's a mere offer on God's part that men ignore. While God stands by, while Jesus stands by crying, wishing they would accept His offer. What a shame. Shamed God's glory. And God's wisdom is His glory, yet men have shamed it. God's wisdom, how He has purposed all things before the world began, predestined all things, and all things are working together to fulfill that divine, eternal, all-wise purpose. Yet men turn it into shame by saying God is a mere bystander, stands by while things are out of His control, and the world is in chaos, and evil is winning. God's Word is His glory. God's holy, inerrant, infallible, eternal, perfect Word is His glory. It's the Word of His power. He created all things by a Word, and He saves by His Word. He still does all things by His Word. He just speaks, and it happens. It's the Word of His power, able to save the uttermost if He sends it. He said, My Word will not return void. It will accomplish that whereunto I sent it. That's His power. That's His glory. His Word. Yet men twist it and pervert it and ignore it and change it and make fun of it and use it flippantly and carelessly. Yea, men are more fond of their own clever words than the eternal, all-powerful, all-wise Word of God. Men would rather put their clever cliches up on their so-called church bulletin boards than the all-powerful saving Word of God. Why is that? Because they have never heard that Word. They don't believe it. They really don't believe it. If they believe it was God's power, they would use it. People, I blame preachers for all of this, and God does too. Well, God does first, and I agree with Him. That it's their fault. They've made a mockery of God and His Word. And therefore the world mocks it and uses it flippantly and carelessly. God's Son is His glory. The Son of God, the glorious Son of God, sent by God to this earth, sent by God with a work to do, a work purposed by God before the world began, purposed by God and ordered in all things and sure, down to the every jot and tittle of that work, and sent His all-powerful, glorious Son to do what only He could do, and to do it without fail. for a people whom God chose. The people whom God chose for His Son to save. He sent Him down here to do just that. And He did it. When He hung on that cross, He said, "It's finished." When He prayed His priestly prayer, He said, "I finished the work Thou gavest me to do." He said, "The men that Thou hast given me, of all that Thou hast given me, I've lost nothing." That's His glory. It's the glory of His power to save, His power to keep, His power to do what He was sent to do by God. And now He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, reigning and ruling, King of kings, Lord of lords, all authority and all power in heaven and earth in His glorious hands, a glorious Son of the Most High God, reigning over the universe. Nothing can stay His hand, doing as He will. And yet, men, worms, have turned that glory into shame, made Him to be nothing more than a mere martyr, killed by men, unable to accomplish what He came to do, frustrated, disappointed, defeated, begging men and women to let Him have His way. A mere man, a poor, pitiful Jesus in the arms of a woman. My, my. How long will You turn My glory into shame, God said. How long? And He goes on to say, how long will You love vanity? Vanity. Scripture says all is vanity. All flesh is vanity. Vanity means useless, empty. Can't do anything for anyone. Cannot fulfill what it promises. It's empty. All flesh. Did you hear that? All flesh is vanity. That which is flesh is flesh. Fleshly wisdom is vanity. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Fleshly wisdom. Psychology, psychiatry, sociology, all of it is vanity. All fleshly possessions. Scripture says it's the deceitfulness of riches, promising what it cannot fulfill. Riches that don't enrich, but rather make poor toward God. And especially fleshly religion is vanity. All of the fleshly props, symbols, crosses, statues, pictures, plays, music, robes, holy water, holy men, all this wildflower and fleshly emotion is vanity. They which worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth, not in the flesh. What you see in religion today reminds you of a rock concert or a ball game. Why? Because that's all it is. Vanity. God's Word is His power. The preaching, all we need to worship God is a Bible and a man to declare it. Vanity. And why, He said, do you seek after? Why do you go after lies? Why do you listen to lying preachers who are lying on God? Lying to us. Preachers who tell us lies. Satan is the father of lies, and his ministers are ministers of righteousness, wolves in sheep's clothing, telling you how much God wants you and loves you, and telling you, as He did Eve, lies about your free will and your worth and your power and your goodness. And God loves you and needs you. It's all a lie. How long, God said? How long? Will you turn My glory into shame and love vanity and seek after lies? Oh, may God turn us before it's too late. Amen.